the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry, joined every week by my good friends Bernie and Jono. I'll start with you tonight, Bernie. How are you, buddy?
Not as good as I was last week, to be honest.
We will get to the reason behind that. However, let us quickly welcome Jono there in his new digs, mate. Have all the girls up in Mackay found out where your new location is, or are you still incognito?
I'm incognito for the moment, boys, but it won't be long. Mackay's not a bigger town as you'd think it is.
Yeah,
it's why he's got those blackout curtains there, so the girls can't see him.
This is it.
And a black fan you've got there too, John. I haven't seen the black blades before on a fan. Yeah. You're going a bit dark, mate. I like it.
Yeah, that's my depression seeping over from Friday night, boys.
Okay, yeah. And once again, we will get to that. So I have just essentially stepped off a plane. I've come back from Townsville. I was away with the Army Reserves. And we had to cater a function up there. And one of the cooks that I was working with is a hardcore Manly fan. So that was discovered pretty early on in the cook. And so there was a lot of shit talk about para Manly. And that went on for probably 2 days until we both discovered that we shared a very strong mutual hatred of Melbourne. So our rivalry kind of disappeared for a little bit and it turned very much into, aren't they a bunch of grubs? They're disgusting. They've brought every dirty tactic into the game. So, yeah, it was quite nice to discover that. And I guess, as we always say on this show, fuck Melbourne.
Fuck Melbourne. The old battle of Brookie. It was a fantastic night. But Manly and Storm got a little bit of history in grand finals as well, with Manly flogging them 40-0, I think it was. Was it something like that?
It was. Record score for a... grand final. But no, you know, Barry, you know, coming up with all these facts about Melbourne, you know, we just call that fact finding.
Yeah. Statements of truth, essentially. But all right, gentlemen, let's jump in. There is a reason why all three of us are lamenting at the moment. So, of course, we played the Bunnies on Friday night. And I seem to recall, Bernie, that there was someone on the show last week talking about the master coaching strategies of Brad Arthur. How did that go on Friday night?
Well, it went pretty well for BA. He had a fantastic game in his own mind and, plenty of points put on by Jakey Boy and a big win for the Eels.
Yeah, in his head. However, 26-0, I believe it ended up being. We just got a drubbing.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. Normally it's pretty obvious where we went wrong. I'm inclined to point the finger at the forwards for this loss, to be honest with you. We just did not seem to be able to get I'm not going to point the finger at Jakey, but you're not allowed to anymore. You're not allowed to say the N word and you're not allowed to say the J word. You're not allowed to say... all the comments I've seen, people are like, oh, well, in reference to Jay, and they won't say his name. I'm like, for fuck's sake. We're not bagging out the kid. The kid's fine. It was just the bloody positional change. Now, I'm going to come full circle just so I don't forget and say I was really worried when we lost. And there was hinted that Mitch was going to be coming back this week. And sure enough, he's been named to start in the team. I was really worried that Jake was going to take Cartwright's place on the bench. He has not. He is not in the team. So I do think that the super coach mantle is still in play here. I still think if you look at the team that BA has picked this week, the super coach mantle is still in play, boys. So I'm predicting an absolute flogging of the Bulldogs this week. I think we will get up for it because they they pulled our pants down in the last game. Like, I don't know why the boys seem to have such drama. Well, not drama, just such trouble getting up for games. It just seems to be that they get out there and they all look at each other and go, oh, this is one of those weeks, boys, that we're just not going to get up for the game. It's like they all just nod at each other and go, oh, and there's no effort to try and, you know, overturn the mentality. It's kind of like, oh, we're not up for this one, boys. Oh, all right. We're going to be up for the one against the Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs are coming off a hiding as well. So they're on a little bit of shaky ground. So I'm predicting a big flogging and Supercoach BA still in play.
So do you get the Supercoach mantle when your team beats a team right down the bottom of the ladder? Is that, that when it gets applied?
Fuck yes. when it's the Bulldogs, it doesn't matter where they're sitting on the table. They could be sitting last. They could be sitting first. They will come out to flog us. Doesn't matter where they are. And if, once again, if we can't get up for this fucking game, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, they absolutely humiliated us last time we played. And I don't know if they started. I think the Tigers started the big downfall of the Eels this year. I mean, we're still sitting pretty, but the one bad game, one good game thing started, I think, with the Tigers and then the Bulldogs. So I'm expecting a big win this week. I am looking forward to watching the game. I think that BA has picked a strong team. Cartwright's going to get minutes. I don't know about the new guy, Odgkin. I can't say his name, but how many minutes did he play last week? Didn't he only get like 8 minutes? I think he
had eight. Exactly. Yeah.
So the good news is that Cartwright is going to get minutes because Odgkin won't. Exactly. So you can't, surely he can't keep two guys sitting on the bench.
Master Coach BA does what he wants.
Master Coach knew that he wanted to bring Cartwright in at this time of the year and give him some minutes. So he's brought Cartwright in. Like, there's a couple of other things I want him to do. I want him to bring in Greg the stop sign. I want, you know, Wormu Greg to get, I honestly think that guy needs to be in the team. So I'm proud of him for dropping Maka Maka. That was a ballsy move. He basically said, you're not up to scratch at the moment. I'm proud of him for not putting his son on the bench because Jake is a halfback or nothing. As far as I'm concerned, he can cover hooker for 20 minutes. I've got no dramas with BA this week. My drama is with the forwards. They didn't set the platform.
Yeah, they absolutely didn't set the platform, boys. And to make matters worse, I was sitting at the bar at the local Kooyong Hotel with our mate Nathan, a.k.a. Barry Enchilada, wearing his Rabbitohs jersey.
Oh, God.
So, as the game progressed and the score widened, so did my purchasing of alcohol. So I don't really remember the end of the game. I've pulled a Barry here and I just got progressively drunker. But I'm not going to single out Gutho's goal kicking because, to my knowledge, he didn't have one. Yeah, the feeling I had last week, how proud I was, the way we came from behind twice against Manly to win that game.
Yeah.
And the feeling I have this week, like, they say a week's a long time in rugby league, but, like, I went to my job. I did my job last week. I went to work. I did my job last week to a pretty good level. I'm here this week. I'm still doing my job to a pretty good level. Yeah. I don't know how million-dollar football players 1 week do their job with hunger and desire, and then the next week, you know, Dylan Brown drops the ball 3 minutes into the game and we decide, tools down, boys, we're going home. Like, it's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's all of the above, you know, and at this time of year, you know, they said all week coming into the South game, they've got the wood over us and we're ready to change it. Coming into the finals, use it as a semi-final preparation. They did none of that. No. They did absolutely none of that. Like, they're just, it's all these throwaway lines in the media that I really need to stop buying into because it's giving me the shits. Here we are again, lamenting over another bullshit performance that shouldn't have happened.
John, can you imagine though turning up to work, if your work was getting broadcast live, can you imagine turning up and going, yeah, I think I'll put in a half-assed performance, and especially you got thousands of people cheering for you at your job, to put in a good performance. You turn up in the morning, you feel like shit, you're tired, whatever it is. You're like, this is getting broadcast to people who are wearing Jono jerseys. You know what I mean? You'd be like, I'm going to put in 100% effort here and give it everything because I know that people are watching. It's live.
Yeah.
Like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it kind of feels like they look at each other and just go, we're not on tonight, boys. It's almost like they just nod and go, this isn't our week. We'll just ride it out and see what happens next week.
I'm almost at the point I wish a cricketing scandal of match fixing actually broke about the Eels.
Yeah.
You almost wish there was some other reason why we are just so inconsistent. And I know we'll talk about this later with the BA Bingo, but then Brad Arthur comes back and says after the game, oh, I don't agree that we're inconsistent. It's how do you come to that conclusion? That's insane.
It's like if it came out and it was found that the Eels were involved in match fixing, and you'd sit there and you'd go, I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Yeah,
it'd be like when bloody Ricky Martin came out as gay. You'd be like, I fucking knew it. Yeah. Like, I knew that there was something going on there.
Yeah.
You didn't need to tell me. So if it comes out and, the Eels are involved in match fixing, I would give it a nod. I'd be like, oh, well, we saw that. It makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes more sense than what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, which is they just don't turn up at times.
Yeah.
And no one wants to take responsibility for it almost. Guthrie was like, he didn't even seem mad. Like, Rabbitohs was just scoring all these tries, and he just seemed like, oh, well, let's go stand behind the post. Like, I was watching Guthrie. He wasn't berating anyone. No. You know, there was a moment where Tom Opacek did something dumb, and I was waiting for the infamous Mackay,
C word, C bomb.
Yeah. F-U-U-dumb-C.
Yes.
You know, that didn't come. It's almost like there was an acceptance. It's like as soon as Dylan Brown dropped the ball in the third minute, there was an acceptance
that we're not on tonight,
all 17
boys.
Of these boys. Yeah, it's like, we're not on. Let's just get this over with and go home. And that sucks. That is shit. If you're a fan that has traveled on the train, that has paid money, you've gone there after a Friday night at work, like you've worked all day, you've looked forward to this all week, you bought your ticket, you're on the train, you're at the stadium, you're repping the boys, and the boys out there don't represent you back. And I highly doubt these millionaires think about the battlers, the rising cost of living that have come out to support. They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit that you've just had a shit day at work and the only thing that's going to make it better is to go to the football and have a chance to cheer on the boys.
Yeah.
And you don't turn up for them either.
Dude, they don't care. A lot of these guys are 20 years old. They're super fit. Their whole life, people have told them how good they are. The girls have just fallen at their feet, and all of a sudden they've got $1 million in the bank account. They've got no idea what it's like to support a club for as long as we have and paid the money that we really shouldn't be spending on memberships and merch just to support the team. And then they just turn up, and you borderline can't blame them because they've got nothing to base it off. They're young and they're good looking, most of them, and they're fit and, money and women and, they're out there drinking. And, to be fair, I was out there doing all that shit when I was 20 as well, but I wasn't good looking or rich. So it's kind of like, I was out there, getting drunk. I don't give a shit about anyone at work. I don't give a fuck. And that's basically the mentality they have. But the thing that annoys me, and I don't want to point fingers, but I get a sense it's coming from Reed Marnie. Now, I don't know why, but he was the linchpin for our team for the last few years for our successes, and he would lead the tackle count and he would get the 40-20s and he would be up there stirring the other team. He'd be getting in their face. He'd be like, and I don't see any of that in him this year. He really seems to be riding it out. So much so that I had the thought on the weekend, I don't care if he goes. Now, I was really upset that he decided to leave the team, but on the weekend and a couple of weeks before as well, when he put in half-assed performances, I went, you know what? Bring on bloody Josh Hodgson. I mean, I'd rather a 35-year-old cripple than a 22-year-old, kid who's not putting in.
Mm.
And I it's annoying the hell out of me. You're like, it's, there's something not right there. But I think you're right too with Gutho. Normally a captain should get in there. This comes back to what Barry was saying, that Mitch should be captain. And yeah, I fully agree.
He's got the fire.
Oh, he's got the fire. Can you imagine him in a team that's not putting in and he's got the reins? Mm. He would 100% be ripping heads off because he leads by example. So
I don't know
what's going on. I don't know why this is continuing, but it needs to stop.
Do you think Reed Marnie's fallen out of love with the club? And I mean, before this, because we were shocked when he signed with the Dogs.
We were shocked.
And now all year he's been putting in these half-assed performances. Mm. He'll turn up sometimes, but most of the time he'll just go through the motions. Mm.
I tried to give him a little bit of leeway because I thought he's just done his shoulder, I think, for the second time, isn't it, that he's had two surgeries?
Yeah.
So he's a young kid, and I'm just thinking, okay, let's give the kid a little bit of time because he wants to get some, you know, faith in his shoulder. He wants to make sure it doesn't go again. Maybe that's why he's not putting in as many tackles. Maybe he's been told to stay out of it a bit. I don't know. It could be another BA masterclass decision to get Reed to stay out of it. But if you remember last year, he was only playing Reed for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Some games he didn't even start Reed. Like against Storm, I think it was, he didn't even start with Reed. He was like 60 minutes. Now all of a sudden the kid comes off his second shoulder reconstruction and he's an 80-minute player every week. Like, I don't know. This is the thing. Like normally it's so obvious what's going on, but I don't know. It's more of a gut feeling. I just see in his face that he has fallen out of love with the club. Like, why the hell would you sign with the Bulldogs, especially when the Bulldogs let him go and told him that he wasn't going to play first grade and he wasn't big enough or good enough? Is it just he's going to be like, I'll show you, and now he's signed the contract and he's like, I don't want to damage his shoulder, because Bulldogs have just got a new coach. They just got, Cameron Ciraldo. And that's a big get for them. And that's 5 years. Is he just going, I can't even blame him. Once again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. If it was me, I'd be like, I don't want my shoulder to go and miss the start of next year because, you know, something's going on here with the Bulldogs with all the players they got coming in. I want to be involved in that. He's put in a half-ass. Who have we got to replace him? We've got Mitch Rain. Like, you know, I'm just like, we don't have any up-and-coming hooker at the moment. It's a little bit, you know, concerning. Oh, is Josh the plan for next year? I mean, he's injury-prone as well. So
he has to be, because there's no one else there. I think we got, what's his name, Brandon Hands in the Reggie's team.
Yep.
And Mitch Rain, if he stays, I don't know if he's staying, is he?
Well, he's playing nine and the Reggies at the moment. So Hands is on the bench, I think. So he's not even getting the start, I think. I could be wrong with that one, but I'm pretty sure that Brendan Hands isn't starting hooker at the moment. But I'm concerned about next year. I mean, I would love to be blooding a new hooker at the moment. But apart from that, across the board, I'm pretty happy with the team. I like, on paper, it looks good, especially with Mitch back there. So expecting, it's going to be curious to see how Reed plays against the Bulldogs. Is he going to fire up? Is he going to go, look, I need to show these guys that I'm the real deal? I expect he will. I'm expecting a massive game from Reed Marnie this weekend. He wants to show how good he is. He doesn't want to put in a half-assed effort. He's trying to impress his new employee. Now, back to us at work terms, you know, if your new employee was watching, employer was watching, you'd be like, shit, I better put in a full effort here, you know? And that's exactly what's going to happen, I think. So expect a big performance from Reed this weekend.
The Parramatta's podcast. After 30 years of following the Eels, no wonder they don't have any hair.
And speaking of players leaving the club, it seems, because there's been a lot of back and forth, that Isaiah Papali'i is going to honour his deal with the West Tigers.
I don't think he was ever going to come back to us. I think he was either going to go to the Warriors or the Tigers. So with the whole backflip deal, like he said, it was because Madge got fired, but you know, he was eyeballing a contract at the Warriors, I'm sure. So, you know, I don't know why we were getting excited anyway. He's going to go. Murata's going, but he's not having the same impact that he had last year. I'm sensing a lot of the players that are moving on are putting in half-assed efforts. And I'm wondering if that's what's affecting the team. I mean, if you're in a team of players who are put in half-assed performances because they've quit, I wonder if you just get to a point where you're like, well, we can't win because these assholes aren't putting in. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, when do you go, I'm going to pluck these guys out of the team and put in someone who is going to be here next year, Wiramu Gregg, even though he's not up to speed right now physically. Apparently, that's what I've read. They think that he needs another year to bulk up. He's a big fucker though, so I don't know about that. Maybe it's his gas tank BA masterclass. Maybe he just does it. He just does a Sean Lane and just get him out there.
Do it, mate.
Get out there and just flog the fucker. Just absolutely flog him until he's like tearing it up like Sean Lane. And Sean Lane was the only one who put in against the Bunnies. He was the only one who put in 100%. And that credit to him, because, you know, I was the first one to bloody kick him in the ass for putting in 60-minute performances, but he put in against the Bunnies, and it was the only time that we looked dangerous. We did let a couple of tries. There were a couple of tries that we bombed, and the forward pass that was flat. That should have been a try to us. We weren't going to win the game anyway, but, you know, it might have wrestled momentum a little bit away from the Bunnies. But rumor mill is also that Latrell Mitchell is injured. So at least if we can't beat the Bunnies, at least we've fucked their season.
I don't think it's too bad, boys. He left the training paddock with ice on his groin. It's only going to be a couple of weeks, but, you know, it's good to see that, you know, we left an indent more than on Latrell, even though we didn't leave an indent on the scoreboard. But
well, it seems like Latrell left the ground with ice on his groin, and Kalen Ponga left the cubicle with cocaine on his cock. So, like, you know, how dodgy is that? I mean, you know, quickly sidetracked. Have you ever heard your mate throwing up in the toilet and going, oh, I better go in and make sure he's all right? No, you go, that fucker's in there throwing his guts up. I don't want anywhere near that. Like, I'll come back in an hour or so when he's finished puking. I'm not going to go in and hold his hair. Like, so, and the club's come out as well that he was drinking at and said he was only here for 20 minutes, so he couldn't have been that drunk.
And furthermore, they both were drug tested. And so we're awaiting on the results for that. So, like, what was really going on there? Because it sounds sus. It's either drugs or it was sex. So,
well, the thing is that I remember Joey Johns came out and said he used to do cocaine on the Friday after a game, and by Monday it was out of your system. The good news for Kalen is that cocaine's out of his system, but the semen will be out of his asshole as well. So either way, he's off the hook.
Hitting the high road, Bernie.
Sorry, the semen will be out of his mouth by Monday morning.
Much better.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say the ass word.
All right, can I get a call from both of you here? What do you think he was doing, Jono?
Cocaine.
Yeah, my favorite part is that Andre, his dad, came out and said that Kurt Mann was helping him because he was sick.
Yeah.
And my response to that was, what, was he holding his hair back?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, boys, no two men walk out of the same cubicle doing anything, you know, other than something mischievous. I'll give you the tip.
Yeah, what's your call, though? So Bernie said he was doing coke.
Coke, 100%.
What are you saying, John?
Yeah, coke or cock.
Coke or cock. I'm going to go with coke.
That was a bit of a Freudian slip there, I think, Jono. You can't afford cocaine, so your options are limited, son.
BA Bingo.
And good to see that we could spring for a voiceover artist there instead of having to get Barry to do it.
Yes, yeah. He didn't come cheap either. So BA Bingo, we have 9 criteria, and every week we try to see how many points BA racks up in terms of dumb decision making. Of course, losing 26-0 to the Bunnies, then there must be a few points this week. Jono, you are the man in charge of this, so tell us What did BA get points for in BA Bingo this week?
All right, BA has had himself a day on the board. I'll give you that much. He's like the excited grandma in the corner of the hall with the stamp out. He's gone to town. So the first one is number four. Lose to a lower-ranked team.
Yep.
Yes.
Because the Rabbitohs were behind us when the game started. They are now ahead of us.
They were.
Number five, he failed to motivate the team, obviously. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number seven, he mischaracterized the performance at the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did he do that?
And, you know, trying to come up with excuses.
Yeah, but however, he mischaracterized the performance because he said, I don't believe we're being inconsistent because we won the last 7 out of our 10. And that's ridiculous.
That's true.
We are inconsistent. We're hot and cold.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, he rushed Mitch back. Do you boys think he's rushed Mitch back in panic? Yeah,
he has. He's totally rushed Mitch back.
Yeah.
I seriously wouldn't bring him back yet. Anyway, that's another. we'll talk more about that in a second because I've got something to say about that.
And number six, it was his superpower last week because we lost the game. And yes, he did have a good game, but I'm just going to say leaving Sean Lane on too long because we lost. Yeah. Because we lost, no more than that, even though he probably was our best player and he's been somehow turned into an 80-minute player.
Yeah.
I believe that in a loss, that counts.
Yeah.
So that's 4 points, is it, out of 9?
That's 4 out of 9.
Wow. I think that's his record thus far. We won against Manly, then we lost against them. So we lost after winning a game. That's one of them as well, isn't it? Isn't there also we win one after losing one, and isn't there another criteria of we lose one after losing?
Yeah, I think I've...
I think that's what I thought he had more points than 4, so I think he's up to 5.
We'll go 5. That's terrible.
Nice. That's top of his bounce thus far. I know he can do better. Yeah.
So. Legs 11.
In a 9 criteria, legs 11.
Yeah, legs 11. He's the master coach. Like, he can do it. If anyone can get to 11 on a 9-point criteria, it's BA.
It's the master coach. Yeah. Now, let's talk about Mitch, though. I think we're all in consensus here that he's coming back too early.
Way too early. Mm. I think that to put him up against the Bulldogs is insane. He's got to have a match before the finals. That's a given. He doesn't need 3 matches before the finals. Mm. I don't know why play him against the Bulldogs. Like, we can beat the Bulldogs without him. And it's a perfect game for Jakey to play, I think.
Mm.
Mm. He's rushing him back. He's panicky. So I think we need... I don't even think we need wins going into the finals because we're not that kind of team. We can turn up and flog anyone, losing 3 games in a row, 4 games in a row. If we lose the next 3 games going into the finals, we're still a danger team playing whoever we are. I suppose, though, if we lose the next 3, we may not even make the top 8.
We're out of 8.
So. So maybe that's what BA's thinking. Maybe he's like, shit, I need to, you know what? You're dead right. He's thinking, I need to get this win under my belt because he's not confident with the... Who have we got after that? I know we got Melbourne in the last round. We got... Who else have we got?
The Broncos at Suncorp.
Broncos.
Fuck. That's another loss. So that's what he's doing. Yeah. He's bringing Mitch back to get the win. And I don't know if he's not really putting the players' welfare ahead of his own career there, is he?
If we get the win, do you reckon he rests him for the other 2 weeks?
It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to turn back and go, oh, he's got a busted finger. It's like, we played him against the Bulldogs. Because we could have 2 losses going into the final. I mean, it's highly likely. Mm. Especially losing one of those games. So maybe he hasn't. Maybe this is another masterclass BA moment. He's ensuring our top 8 final spot. That's what he's doing. Bring Mitch back, ensure the finals performance, the finals placing, and go BA. Masterclass. I shouldn't have doubted him.
You say masterclass, I say bare minimum, but hey, we'll agree to disagree.
26-0.
Hey, not against the Bulldogs. We'll see what we do against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, but we lost against the Bulldogs.
Not next week, we didn't. Like, you know, I'm talking about the finals here. As long as we're in the finals... We have a chip and a chair, boys.
Yeah,
like,
we do.
I reckon,
we do. Fair call.
Yeah. If we're in the finals, God knows what can happen with this team. This team might perform. Oh, you just got to win four games. Like, you never know. You never fucking know. So we just got to get in there, chip in a chair. So if we beat the Bulldogs, which I think we will with Mitch back in the team, rest him for the next two and see what happens.
That's right. It.
Jono, prediction?
Oh, we trounce him. I'm thinking like 36-6.
Yeah, I was thinking 40-0. So, but it might just go. Been, yeah, it's a flogging on the boards. And I think that the first 10 minutes, the Bulldogs will come with it, come at us with their little Burton chip kicks over to the Fox on the wing, and they'll think that they're going to, and it might work. So they might get six. But once we flatline that little combination, it's going to be a big win. So I'll change it to 40-6. I'll give them the 6 points. They'll score in the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right. I will then say 24-4 to the Bulldogs.
See, you're supposed to bring positive. You said to bring a bit of positivity back into the podcast, Barry. Yeah. That's not positive.
But last week, all three of us said we were going to flog Souths, and Souths flogged us, right?
Did we say that they were going to flog us? We said it's a danger game. They've always been our bogey team. I don't think we said that we were going to flog them, did we?
Well, we all went, okay, here's the score. We're going to win this. We're going to win. We all said we were going to beat Souths, essentially is what I was trying to make the point.
Yeah, and not so, flog them. I thought we were going to win.
Okay. Yeah. The point being that we all said we were going to win and we lost. So if we all say we're going to win again, to me, that's bad luck. So if I say the Doggies are going to win, I've countered the Murphiness of you two claiming that we're going to trounce them. And so I'm saying that, although it's negative, as a positive in that it's going to counter you cueing Murphy that we're going to win this quite handily.
I like where you're coming from, but it's unnecessary with this game, my friend. maybe against the Souths, it would have been good to play that angle, but against the Bulldogs. Now, look, I am going to contradict myself a little bit here because historically, after a team has named a new coach, the team has fired. Because they all want to impress the new coach. They all want to look at me, new coach. I do this, I do that.
Yeah.
They have the motivation going in. They're going to be thinking, I want to impress the new coach. So that scares me a little bit, but I reckon that's only going to last 10 or 15. And I reckon that Reed Marnie is going to be, look at me, new coach. Okay. So, and he's going to be the difference. We're going to see the Reed of old in this game. I'll predict a 40-20 from Reed, which will lead to a try and will lead to momentum. It's going to be a big one. But I'm not going to put us down for first try scorer. If I was going to do that, I'd put down the Fox. I reckon Reed is going to score a try in this game. I reckon he's going to do a little dart from dummy half within 5 metres. I reckon it's going to be a good victory for the Eels. So,
Well, we won't have long to wait for that. And as always, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with my mate T-Dog, where we pick three dumb sports stories of the week to determine which one's the dumbest. Jono, your podcasts, mate, throw them out.
Yep. We have got the mid-season review of the F1 chat coming up next week.
What's going on with the F1? Who's currently leading the F1 championship?
Max Verstappen is pissing it in at the moment. So defending champion going for the back-to-back.
What happened to Lewis? Has he just fallen away?
Yeah, Mercedes just came up with a dodgy car. So here we are.
Always blaming the car. Always blaming the car.
That's it. Beautiful. That should be about a 3-hour episode. So I'm keen for that.
And as we always say here on the Parramatta's podcast, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.